So if you guys will welcome Emma and some of our college girls that are here today, give them a big round of applause. Thanks.
Is it on? It's on. It's on. Well, hello, everybody. It's nice to see you guys in a smaller space than up on stage. Well, guys, these are my friends from high school and also my friends from life. And so I'm going to let them introduce themselves really quick. And the way that this is going to work is we have come up with five topics that we're going to talk through. And if there's time for questions at the end, we'll answer questions, but likely we'll go till the end. If there's something that you really love that someone said, you can try and talk to one of them, or you can tell me, and I can relay the information. Cool? So I'm going to let them introduce themselves, and then we'll jump right in.
Hey, guys. I'm Alexa. I'm a junior at the University of Arkansas, and I'm excited to be here.
I'm Callie. I'm also a junior at the University of Arkansas.
Yeah, I'm Kendall. I go to NM, and I'm a junior there.
Let's see if this works. Okay, I'm Molly, and I'm a senior at Texas A&M.
Nice. Okay, so just a little bit of context. I know most of you, but just to let you know, I just graduated from college, so I'm not old, and I also went to Arkansas. Or you can make a judgment if you think I'm old or not. I won't be offended. Okay, so the first thing that we're going to talk about is roommate relationships. So it can be super weird to jump into college and then you live with this random person who lives from Kansas who you don't know. Oh, well, that was my experience. It was a great experience. I love her. So we are going to talk about what it's like to live with a roommate. Maybe you have a sibling, but living with a roommate is a little bit different. So, let's have, Lex, do you want to start out?
Yeah. Okay, so going into college, I roomed with one of my best friends from high school, and we kind of, you know, we're like sisters, basically, and so we kind of got in a lot of tiffs all the time, and honestly, everybody didn't think we'd make it through. Like, Kendall was in my small group, and she just didn't think we'd make it. So I've got a bunch of funny stories of things that happened, but also one of the most important things I learned was conflict resolution, because that's really what got us through, and like we overcame a ton of small arguments that could have blown up and been really big. So I'll start off with a few stories that happened, and I talked to my roommate. She was totally cool with me telling y'all these, but so I'm a little bit messier than my said roommate, and so she just wasn't feeling the room and stuff, and I walk inside after a day of classes, and there's a streamer taped across the middle of the room, like, separating both of our sides. And then another time, she, like, cleaned up all of, like, the whole room. I walked in. I was shocked. I was so happy. And she had hidden all the things of mine that she didn't like in my closet. So going into college, we learned how to, like, work through some things. And so Matthew 18, 15 through 17 says, go address the person you're having problems with, and then if they don't listen, bring someone else. And so one of the biggest things I learned is, like, sometimes you need a mediator when you're having conflict. And so sometimes it's, like, good to bring along a friend. So my friend Callie here, she would come along, and we would, like, be talking and stuff, and she'd be like, okay, wait, give her a chance to talk, because you need to just, like, be able to get your thoughts out. And one way that we really did conflict resolution really well was, so I would go in and I'd say, hey, like, this is what I think I could have done to hurt you wrong, and so then I would say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? And then she would forgive me, and that was really powerful, like, the words that we use, like, hey, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? And then you continue to do that and ask for forgiveness. And a few more verses that I really liked were, don't let the sun go down while you are mad, or Matthew 5:24 says, leave your gift at the altar and go first and be reconciled to your brothers and then come offer your gifts. And so like, if y'all are in conflict, I think it's really important to just address it. And if you're angry or upset, you go and you talk about it, because over time it just builds and gets worse and worse and worse. Kendall, cool. Yeah. You have some stuff to say?
No, that's a great point. I think something that's just good to know is that at some point with your roommates, with your friends, you are going to have conflict in college. Like, it is unavoidable. We've all had it before. But another thing is just that it is loving to communicate hard things to people that you care about. And so just like, even if I know so many people like hate conflict and don't want to deal with it, and that's so fair, but like, if you love someone, you're going to sit down and have a hard conversation with them because you care about that relationship. And so just a really practical way to do that is keeping like short accounts is what I call it. So right, not going 6 months without checking in on your roommate and not just like leaving it for a really long time, but sitting down every month or so and being like, hey, how have I loved you well? Where have I failed? What can I do better? Or right, if they've done something to hurt you too, just bring that up and be like, hey, I love you, but you not doing the dishes is driving me insane. What can I do like in that to like help you out with that? And so just like, I think a life skill that college requires is to sit down and have hard conversations with that for sure. Another thing, just as girls, sometimes we have a tendency to be hurt by things that people say. And if we aren't talking about that, then anytime you enter into a hard conversation, those grudges are going to come back and you're going to want to hurt that person the same way they hurted you, almost kind of like revenge. So I've done that in conversation before. Like, one of my roommates said something rude to me like a month ago. And then when we're having a hard conversation, I find like, oh, there's a sneaky little way to like throw that jab back at her because I've held on to that. And I like want her to feel the way I did. And so just something cool is that like, if you are in this room and you know and love Jesus, you have every need satisfied in him. So when you go into a hard conversation, you don't need anything from that person. You have every need satisfied in the Lord. So you get to talk openly because you care deeply and you like love each other in that. The one other thing I would say about roommate relationships and friendships is kind of the concept of learning how to fight for your community. I think when I was sitting in y'all's chair and wondering what my friends and community was going to look like in college, I assumed that it would just fall into my lap and that I would just stumble into deep and great, rich community. And so the one thing I would say would just be, you're going to have to fight and seek out and be proactive to find community. That doesn't just happen. So that means like talking to people that you like see who love the Lord. That means like prioritizing time with them. I live in a house in College Station with four of my best friends, and we have been friends for a really long time, but we still don't do a good job of prioritizing each other and like sitting down and having conversations about what we're reading, asking each other hard questions. And so in that, we learned like to say no to other things to prioritize that. Like, there's always going to be something else you could be doing in college. Like, you could be working out, you could be studying, you could be going to a function, you could be doing anything else. But when you say no to the other stuff to prioritize your time with your community, like, that is when you're going to, like, walk richly and, like, understand the Lord's blessings in terms of the friends and the people in your life.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Sometimes whenever you're in college, you might not have a roommate that is living similar to you. Like, they might not be a Christian at all, and they might not. They might be, but they might not be following the Lord at that time. And that's what I experienced freshman year of college. And was really blindsided by it and really hate conflict, like y'all were bringing up. And I wish I had listened to that type of advice to address conflict, because I let fear rule over me in that relationship, in that friendship, and would literally be crying, like having a breakdown in her dorm, not apartment, and track my roommate to see when she was gone. So I'd run home and take a shower and run home, like run away, because I didn't want to address her. Like, it was very unhealthy, and I wouldn't recommend doing that, because yeah. I just let things build and not address them. And that could be with a roommate who does love the Lord, but just dealing with conflict well. But something that I learned through having a roommate who didn't live similar to me is that my first priority is just to love her, and that should be anyone regardless, but like I didn't expect her to treat me the same as maybe my friends who did have godly roommates, and just putting her needs above mine and laying down my pride, because that's what Jesus did, and imitating Christ in that way. There's a verse. Oh, Galatians 5:1 says, or it's Ephesians 5:1 says, imitate God therefore in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. And sometimes being a Christian means that your life is going to be a sacrifice, like it says it right there. And I didn't think that was fair. I wanted a roommate that was going to treat me well and it was going to be easy to love. But that's not what God promised me or any of us. But he does give us the example of Christ to follow, and that if you imitate Christ, then your relationship is going to look different, and it's going to be easier in the long run to live just in peace and harmony with your roommate.
And girls, this goes exactly with your friendships. And so some of you I know are super close and are in community with each other already. And these are great practices. We talked about it if you on the Dallas campus. We talked about it at Shoreline. Forgiving one another and asking for forgiveness. And so write this down, because it is practical information. And you all know, but I know it can be hard in high school to not have a conversation over text or worse, over Snapchat DMs. But it is so healthy to sit down and have a conversation and in humility ask, hey, is there anything I've done to hurt you? How can I love you better? And so if you hear anything from what they said, the way that you can love one another is to meet them where they are and not not try and expect them to cater to whatever your idea is of a roommate or of a friend or of someone in your small group. Cool? Okay, so now we're going to move in really quickly into temptation and how do you fight temptation in college. So Molly, would you like to take it away?
Yeah, so I think one of the really fun and exciting parts about college is that you get to decide who you're going to be. And you don't have your family there keeping tabs on you. You have different friends than you may have had in high school. And so a lot of the accountability that you've grown up with on your like your first week of school kind of vanishes, and you get to rebuild that community. And so that's the point when push really comes to shove on what you believe and who you want to be. And so one thing I think I had to learn throughout college, and I'm still learning, is that I within myself do not get to muster up holiness or righteousness, and I on my own do not get to defend myself against temptation. And that's so backwards from what Jesus says in the Bible. But if you look at Ephesians 4 in verses 22 through 24, he says, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And so from that verse, we understand that if it's just left up to us, temptation is exactly that, tempting. And it's something that we want to participate in within our flesh. But when we are putting off the things of our flesh and pursuing the Lord, that's when we can understand what true righteousness and true holiness is. And the more that we pursue that in college, the more attractive that becomes. And so one thing I think I really had to learn was that defending myself against temptation was something that was required active participation. He says, put off the old self. And that is an active verb that you need to do. And then be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self. That's fleeing from temptation and pursuing what is righteous. And so when it comes to how you navigate tempting situations and situations you either that either were easy to avoid in high school, or maybe now that you're not surrounded by the same community you are like want to try out, putting yourself in really tempting situations is never going to be wise. Asking for it to be hard is kind of silly. And so I think that as you're navigating new waters when you enter college, it's really important to be looking for things that are in a line with the Holy Spirit, that are in a line with what we know in the Bible, and pursue those things. And overcoming temptation becomes much easier than when, you know, you're standing at a party or you're surrounding yourself with people who don't believe in what you believe in. And it just becomes a lot easier to be like, well, I want to do that and I will. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, 6 months down the road, you don't know how you got to where you are, because it's a lot of small decisions. Yeah.
That's a great point. As we were talking about it before, I was telling Molly this story about, in my freshman year, I was sitting with someone and I was just like, if I went to this party tonight and drank, like, who would care? And I had this weird thought. I was like, okay, nobody is going to think anything weird of it, because that seems to be the culture of where I am. But also, like, why am I not? And I wasn't looking for the Lord in it. And it was so great. They pointed me back to truth. They were like, Emma, no, that's not honoring to the Lord. And I had to really live by, like, if my hand is causing me to stumble, like, get rid of it. Or you know what I'm saying. And so I consciously didn't put myself in situations where I was in, like, at a party, because the second it became normal to me was when I would, like, justify it to be okay. And so, you know yourself, go in with a plan, and arm yourself with the Word of God. And I think Lex has something too.
Another thing about temptation is, I think it's really cool for you to, like, take, just like to analyze why you're not doing what you're doing, because God has given us the Bible, and it's like God breathed, and He gives us things because it's the best way for us to live. He's not trying to punish us or take away fun or withhold any goodness from us. He wants to give us everything. And so He's like a father who disciplines his child for safety and protection and for the flourishment of us. And so I think, one really good thing that has really helped me, and has prepared me for really cool conversations and opportunities to share the gospel, is to just take an account of why God is asking me not to do this, or to, like, why shouldn't I drink before I'm 21, or why should I not do stuff with guys, and just, like, creating a list. So you're like, okay, God said this for a reason, and here's a list of 10 reasons. Like, I'm not going to list them all, but I made, like, 15 bullet points for each one. And I was like, this makes so much sense of, like, why the Lord is leading me this way. And one of the big points is to be set apart. And in Romans 1, I think it's 1:1 or 1:2, but it talks about being set apart by the gospel. And so when you're set apart, it's not so you look like this better Christian, and you have to be, if you mess up, you're not going to be loved by God more. It says you're set apart by the gospel, and you're set apart by nothing you've done, but everything through which Jesus has done. And so when you act in obedience, you're responding in love to what God has called us to do, and He's going to make your life flourish more because of that. And by being set apart, there's so many more opportunities to share the gospel with people, which is why we're still on this earth and what we're called to do. And so if you're around a bunch of people drinking and you aren't drinking, you have the opportunity to explain why, and the opportunity to say, I don't need that to cope with anything. I don't need that to make me have fun, because I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. Or, like, with boys, you're never going to be using a person because you want them, or they make you feel good. You're going to be protecting them because you love them. Like, a cool example is one of my friends, she's dating this guy, and she really, really likes him, and she's really attracted to him. But she loves him more than she lusts for him, which I think is so cool. And so what she does to avoid temptation and to help him avoid temptation is she dresses more modestly. She wears just clothes that cover herself up, because she wants to love him to the best of his ability, and not tempt him in any way. And so temptation is for yourself and for protecting other people, because you want to show them Jesus.
That's so good. So good. Okay. So moving on, we got to kind of jet through these, so we can get through all of them. What does it mean to take school seriously and, to have fun in college but know that school is why you're there?
Yeah, I can start talking about that. So at the end of my senior year of high school, I was not excited for college, honestly. I was excited to graduate high school and for all of that, but the thought of going to four more years of school was not super fun to me. I just wanted to go to college and like hang out with friends. And then through my freshman year of college, I struggled with that too. My eyes kind of were opened to a lot of what was going on in the world, whether it be poverty and just the way that people really, really struggled. And I wrestled a lot with, if there are people dying in the world and, you know, things that I would categorize as real problems, then why am I here seeming to waste my time at college just like learning, you know, like that just seemed not important to me. And thankfully, I had a lot of people around me who instructed me with truth. And my senior year of high school, my Bible teacher said that Jesus spent 30 years before he began his ministry being a son and a carpenter and a student. And all we know about those 30 years of his life was that he was growing with stature with God and man, and that he was being made perfect in obedience. And through those 30 years of training, when he started his ministry, that's like the part of Jesus' life that we read about in the Gospels, is those 3 years of ministry. And it took training for him to learn. And because of everything that he knew and the ways that he was trained, he was able to bring people in and understand people's situations and love people so much better. And so an analogy that somebody used to describe it to me one time is that all that you know is like an umbrella. And the larger that umbrella is, the more people you can bring under it. And that's more connections you can have with people and things to know about where you can start conversations and love somebody who's around you. And so it was a really big shift in perspective for me to look at school and everything that I'm learning as opportunities to benefit other people. The more that I squeeze out of this experience, the more I can teach, the more I can know, and that's more I can give to people who didn't have the opportunity to be at college. And so that's just been kind of something I've had to live by, of trying to make the most of opportunities, whether it be in my sorority, in an organization, in school, of trying to get everything I can out of it. Because when I leave college, and still while I'm in college too, that's the more that I can give and I can teach and love other people as well.
Yeah, it's a great point. Scripture that kind of says, like, really similar to that is Colossians 3, right? Or 3:23, if you want the verse. But it talks about work willingly at whatever you do as though you're working to the Lord rather than man. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you that that is the reason a lot of times that I've tried in school, because sometimes you are sitting in class and you're like, what does supply chain have to do with what I want to do with my life? And you're just like, this is, it feels like a burden, and it feels just like the thing that's getting in the way of your fun. But
they don't,
like,
even know what that is.
Yeah.
But I don't even know what that is.
I'm in it, and I don't really either. If we're being
I'm like looking
honest.
At him. Looking at Rachel, she's like, okay.
You like, you can't ask me to explain. I couldn't tell you. But I will say, just truths that I've learned about it is that, right, school is your job for the next 4 years, right? That's why you're there. And so we work hard at it because the Lord has asked us to work hard at what he's put on our plate. In addition to, like, it's a gift and a privilege, and we forget that. Like, if y'all have ever had the privilege to, like, go on mission, the kids that you're going to meet are dying for an education, and they are, like, absolutely amazed that you get to go to school. And so it's not always going to feel like a gift, but just, like, really helpful to remember that it's a privilege. There's also the other end of the spectrum with school, though, when school becomes your idol and school becomes a thing that is determining your value. Very, very guilty of that myself. I kind of went into college with, like, oh, I've never failed a test. Like, I, like, get A's and B's. Like, I'm going to kill this college deal. Freshman year, that went great. I was really kind of feeling it. I was like, I am slaying this school thing. Like, it's going so well. Cut to the next semester, I got 3 C's in one semester. And my GPA just, like, took a huge tank. So there was, like, embarrassment that went along with that. I didn't tell anybody because I was like, who gets C's in college? Like, oh, my gosh. And, like, all I wanted, like, if y'all hear anything about school, is to know that, like, your GPA is going to change, but your value stays the same. Mm. Like, that is not a determinant of your value, right? Like, your GPA is going to go up when you're doing great, and it's going to go down sometimes, but know that, like, your value is the same because God is good and you are his, and that doesn't change. And so just know that, like, as you kind of walk through that, like, yes, it's so important to work hard at, but it is not something that determines your value with school.
Cool. So the clickbait of this breakout is recruitment. So you can be a Christian in a sorority. So let's move in. And Callie and Molly, if you guys want to kind of talk about your recruitment experience. And so we're not going, so recruitment is Rush, but now it's called recruitment. And so we're going to talk about that. Everything that we've said applies into being in a sorority, but really, like, this is all about college. And so if you guys really quick want to talk about that, and then we'll close out with the last one.
So I went into college and was expecting to be in a sorority. Like, I went through Rush recruitment and had no clue anything what I was doing. And I didn't even wear makeup until college. And my roommates were waking up at 5 a.m. to whiten their teeth, put on makeup, do spray tans. I was like, what am I doing? I'm so not meant for this. But I get there and it's the whole process, but it doesn't really matter. I end up getting cut from every single house that I heard was, like, worthy or, like, the top house, like, the cool places. And I was like, oh, cool, this is not what I thought college was going to be. And then I end up, I was in one, but I was only in it for 2 weeks. And then I was like, okay, I guess this is, like, I'm just going to go now. Like, I don't enjoy this. I don't think that this was right. And I was just really confused with what was happening. But whenever, like, those 2 weeks before I, like, officially dropped out of it, I was, like, looking for why God, like, allowed this. Like, I wasn't really that distraught. I mean, I was confused, but I wasn't, like, I just was confused, basically. But I examined my heart and, like, why I even went through Rush in the first place. And I was, like, I did it because I thought that's what you did. I did it because I was afraid I wouldn't have friends without it, or boys would think I was weird, or just, like, I just was really fearful and obviously not trusting the Lord with what he says about who we are whenever, because of Jesus and, like, his adoption through us. In a verse that I found, it's in Colossians, it says, "Since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on these things above, not on earthly things, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God." So that's just very straight to the point. Like, regardless of if I stayed in a sorority or not, like, that wasn't going to earn me status or earn me any true identity that's going to last. It just was going to feed my ego and feed my, like, searching for something to fill the spot that Jesus already died for to give me. So I don't think most of my best friends are in sororities. Sororities aren't bad, but you don't have to be in one to have a great college. I love college. It's been great. I've made the best friends ever outside of it too. But yeah, that's just speaking to you. If you don't really feel like you want to do it, or if it doesn't go well for you, it's just, yeah, trust in the Lord.
I'll just really quickly say that things I needed to remember when I was going through recruitment is, first, that it's not about me. I had a really selfish perspective of, where do I want to be? What house do I want to be in? Who do I get along with? Who has a good reputation? And that's just not what it's about. Like, nowhere in scripture can we ever find Jesus say, like, and it's all about you. And if you read Ephesians 1, he says, like, all of life is meant to be lived to the glory of his grace. And so looking at recruitment from the perspective of, how do I glorify the Lord through this? You're going to talk to so many people during recruitment, and that's souls who have eternities and people that you may or may not see in heaven. And so using it as an opportunity to love them and to let them be near the Holy Spirit by being near to you is such a cool opportunity. So I would just encourage you guys to look at recruitment as a way of loving people rather than trying to put yourself in a good light. Put Jesus in a good light by just being who you are and proclaiming the person that he created you to be to other people, because that is the best thing that you can do to give him glory when you're there.
Yeah. And we realize that none of you know anything about recruitment, unless, like, your mom or your sisters or whatever, whoever you know. I literally knew nothing and went through and, like, had the best week of my life because I just got to talk to people. And we talked about like random stuff. One time I talked to a girl about moss for like a good while. And like what kind of moss we liked. I really see the Lord in moss a lot. Like it's so detailed. I think it's amazing. And so we were just talking about that. Just because you don't know what's going on, like that's not like a, oh, I shouldn't do it. Or because of what you've heard, really like, go into it in prayer and asking the Lord, like, is this something that you want me to pursue or not? Anything that we do not in prayer is, okay, this is the last one. This is the most important one. So tune in for like the next 2 minutes, because it's about to get good. So, Callie, you want to start?
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about finding a church.
Yeah. Finding a church in college is really, I loved it. I thought it was great because you just, in the beginning, I went to 3 different churches. I heard about one actually here. Someone recommended me to go to one and then 2 others. And I immediately liked one and I stopped going to the other ones. Like, I just found that's where I felt the gospel was preached. And I left that day loving Jesus more. Mm-hmm. And they said that on stage, you're like, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was like to enjoy and extend the gospel. And I was like, I'm enjoying the gospel and I'm going to go tell people about Jesus because mm-hmm. I'm enjoying this and I'm feeling fueled here. And I think that a lie that's really easy to believe in college is that it doesn't matter if you invest in one place or if you get involved because you're only there for 4 years, but that's just, you're just cheating yourself out of the most fruitful thing that God has for you there. So my encouragement would be get involved and not something that I felt whenever I, like last year, I guess, a lot of people started leaving my church because it was really tiny. And a lot of girls were like, there's no boys here, so we're going to go to a different church. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I was really tempted to like go with that, but I was already invested and really loved the church and like just felt that I was doing that for wrong reasons. So just get involved and get in a small group and be known while the time you have there.
Yeah, super quick, just going to give y'all a couple bullet points of like what to look for. Like when you're bouncing around churches and looking, just a couple good things to keep in mind. So looking for a church where scripture is the highest authority, right? Church that is run on like man's wisdom is so dangerous. Like you want the church to be founded in biblical truth. So that's one thing that's great to look for. Also look for a place where you can serve and plug in. Right, the body of Christ is something where you not only get something out of church, but you give something when you are looking at churches. So look for somewhere that you love and are excited about plugging into. And also looking for, is the gospel being lived out on more than just Sundays? Like look at the people who go to that church and the people who are running it. And yes, they better be living out the gospel on Sunday, but are they doing that all week? Do they live lives where you can look and see that the gospel is evident in their lives? And then this is just something that like I was really important to me when I was looking for a church, but was that the people on stage were leading vulnerably. Like the people who were up on front, like giving sermons, the elders, like everyone in that church was leading, being really clear that like they were broken and that like they were fallen and that like the Lord is where we look for our picture of perfection. So those are just a couple practical things that hopefully will narrow down or speed up the process of finding a church.
Kendall, you have gone to Watermark since you were born.
Yes, I have.
So what can you say really quickly about leaving Watermark and going to a new church?
Yeah, I think leaving here, like literally since I was born, like Watermark started when I was 1. And so I've literally grown up here. And so I think viewing this place as a gift is a great mindset to go into college with of like, man, thank you, Lord, for this place and this church that I've grown up in. But like, you can't like go into college being like, I'm looking for a Watermark clone. Right, because if those churches are doing those things in the list that I said, if they are living out biblical principles, if you can serve there, then it doesn't really matter if it looks like Watermark or not. But I was really attached to just the way I'd grown up. And so I would say, like, don't be afraid to let that image go as long as they are preaching biblical truths. And if that church is founded in truth. Because, I mean, it was hard for me. It was a hard adjustment for me because I love this place so much. But, like, the Lord is in and active and like doing big things at churches where y'all are going to go to college. Like, I can promise you that. So.
Lex, you want to close this out?
Yeah, we're gonna.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, sorry.
That's perfect.
Oh my gosh, you guys, this is a bummer that we're having to cut it short, but you need to have time to go to your next breakout. So would you guys just give these girls a hand for all the wisdom, all the things? And one thing I would say is that, man, don't wait until you're at college to start thinking about how do I want to engage with my roommates? How do I want to be on mission? How do I want to plug in? Talk with your small group leaders or other girls in your life that are older, that are already in that stage of life, and start collecting that wisdom.